right. John chapter 1. We talked about this morning that Jesus was, he existed from all eternity. That's obvious from the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. So at the time that the beginning happened, the Word was existing. Not only that, but He was existing in a separate personality or a separate person from God, because it says that He was with God. That is, He was with God the Father. And this passage doesn't say so, but we also know that He was with God the Holy Spirit. So they were with each other. And Jesus was His own distinct person. And lest there should be any confusion then, though, the Word was God. He was nothing less, nothing short of being God. So that much is made very clear in verse 1. By the way, Jehovah's Witnesses, if they come to your door and you ask them about that verse, they will say that the Word was a God. However, that is not borne out by the Greek. There's no warrant there for putting an indefinite article. It is translated just as it should be here, and the Word was God. He was not a God. He was not something less than God, but He was God Himself. We worked our way down to verse 3, and I'll just take a minute or two and finish up. In verse 3, it says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now, far from being created Himself, He was the Creator. And that is perfectly obvious from verse 3. And notice what it is that Jesus created in verse 3. Did you see that? All things were made by Him. That is, He created all of the elements. All matter was created by Him. Every atom and every molecule, every physical thing came from Him. This includes the earth, all the planets, the angels, all animals, mankind. And notice how forceful John is in asserting that Jesus created all things. He says all things were made by Him. Now, he could have stopped there. That's clear enough. But he says, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John has a tendency here to repeat for emphasis. Take a look at verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 2, he repeats, the same was in the beginning with God. So it's sort of an emphasis, as if said, don't miss this. You know, I'm repeating this so you don't miss it. And then all things were made by Him, and then he sort of reemphasizes. He says, without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, this verse suggests that if something was made, then it was made by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a created thing, because all created things are made by Jesus Christ. You see the logic? All created things. And there was not anything made that was made, except that it was made by Jesus Christ. So could Jesus Christ have been made? No. This same idea is found in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. That's the same idea we've been looking at in John. He's eternal. He's before those things. And by Him, all things consist, or they hold together by His power. So you can't miss that in our Gospel of John here, that this Jesus that he's going to be telling us about, this man that looks like everyone else, He's got flesh and blood. He's got hands and feet. He gets thirsty and hungry. He gets weary. You don't look at him and necessarily think, well, there goes God. But John, the apostle, says, this is the man that created all things. This is the man that existed before things were created. This is the man that holds things together in the universe. That's who we're talking about when we're talking about Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at verse 4. Not only was He the one that created all things, but it says, in Him was life. Now, what this means is that Jesus is the source of life. Jesus created things and He made them, and unless He had created them, they wouldn't be there. But if you see anything moving, if you see anything with life in it, who did it come from? It came from Christ. Because in Him was life. He was the source of it. Life comes from Him. And so this is the idea that John is getting across when he says, in Him was life. Now, this is the very nature of God. God is alive. God is not merely, like we said this morning, a life principle. He is not the force of nature. He's quite different from that. He created nature. He is not a moral principle of some kind, but God is a living entity. And life is a part of His essence. It's who He is. We know that there are many parts to His essence. He is truth. He is justice. He is goodness. He is mercy. He is grace. There are many attributes of God, and one of those attributes is that He's alive. He is a living God. And so life is an essential part of God's essence. And if anything in the world has life, it's because it came from Him. Now, life doesn't come from any other source. Scientists cannot put something in a test tube and create life. Life doesn't generate itself from dead objects, as some people claim it does. Two rocks pressed against each other under extreme pressure for millions of years does not produce life. Common sense tells you that. And so the idea is that life comes from a person who is life. Life can only come from a person who has it in himself as part of his essence. And so life comes from Jesus Christ. Well, we're not going to belabor that any, but it goes on and it says in verse 4 that life was the light of men. It is clear from this verse that Jesus not only conveyed life to men, but in some regard, He conveyed light unto men. Now, light in the Scriptures, it has a good, strong connection to knowledge. Light and knowledge go hand in hand. And Jesus gave a certain light to mankind. Now, the type of life that Jesus conveyed to men is somehow different than the life that He conveyed to animals. Now, when God creates animals, He gives them physical life. They have the ability to relate to the physical world. And I have a little dog at home, and if my dog sees a squirrel run across the yard, she relates to that. And she takes off like a bolt of lightning after that squirrel. And if you put a bowl of food down, well, with my dog, it has to be good food, she relates to that. She likes to be petted. If you step on her, she yelps because she relates to the physical world. But one thing that she will never do is look up into the heavens and appreciate the God who made her. You won't ever see a dog kneel down and pray. You won't ever see a dog congregating with the other dogs in the neighborhood and singing hymns to God, will you? It's just not in their nature. They don't have the light that is necessary to do that. But when God gave man life, He gave man something extra. He gave mankind light. He gave man the light of spiritual awareness. He gave man the light of a conscience that has a moral awareness. He gave man the ability to relate to Him on a spiritual plane. And He did not give that to the beasts of this world. He gave man an intellect that can appreciate God. And all of this light came from Jesus Christ. In Him was life. And that life is the light of men. Man, I think you can see, is God's creative masterpiece. And when Christ made man, He not only made man with a physical body to relate to the universe in a physical way, but He also made man with a spiritual component, which allows man to relate to God. So this wonderful knowledge of God, this moral awareness that we have, this barometer in our conscience, this innate understanding that we have, that God is our Creator and that we are His creature, this spiritual craving that is in all men to some degree, all of this is light that comes from the very life of Christ. Now, this is light in its general sense, you understand. It's not the light of salvation or anything like that, but God has given light to men, and He gave it to them through Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There is another sense in which Christ is the light of men, of course, and when He came at the incarnation, He came as the supreme example for mankind. It was like the sun rose in the morning, and now we see how we should live. We should live like Him. Now we see. Now we see what grace and truth are all about. Now we see mercy and forgiveness. Now we see what it is like to be meek and mild. Now we see what it means to always do the will of the Father. And this is, in this way, Christ was the light of men. But the Gospel of John here goes on and discusses the reception of the light. And I'm not going to spend much time on that here this afternoon, just to acquaint you with it briefly. It says in verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That word "comprehended" is the King James translation, and perhaps that is a little bit difficult to understand. But we're going to see in the next few verses, and also in the balance of the book, that in general, there was not a positive reception to the light, was there? There was not a positive reception to the coming of Christ into the world. And so I would interpret verse 5 in that sense, that the light came, it shone, and the darkness did not receive it. That seems to be the meaning, at least in the rest of the chapter here. So the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not receive it. The darkness, of course, we think of darkness in the physical sense. At nighttime, it's dark. But when He talks about the darkness here, and Christ came to the darkness, it doesn't mean that Jesus was born at night. He may have been, but it doesn't mean that Jesus came at nighttime. But it means that He came to a world that was characterized by darkness. And the darkness, of course, represents the state of the world due to sin. So He came to a world that was filled with reprobate minds. It was filled with minds that didn't know anymore right from wrong, that preferred the darkness because their deeds were evil. And that's the type of world that Jesus came to. He came to a world that was a deep, dark pit of sinfulness and wretchedness. minds were darkened, eyes were blinded, ears were dull of hearing, hearts were unreceptive. And when Christ came into the world, it was not a place that was receptive to the light. There are two groups of people that are discussed here in chapter 1, and very briefly they're discussed. And one is in verse 10. You see, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now, I think when it's talking about the world there, it's the world, not the Jews, but Gentiles, basically, is what he's referring to, because he, in the very next verse, he talks about how the Jews received Him. So in verse 10, you see the world received Him in a certain way. That is, they didn't know Him. And then in verse 11, He came unto His own. His own, of course, were the Jews, the people of Israel. And His own received Him not. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? The people that Christ made, the people that Christ gave light to so that they could know Him, when He came, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't know Him. It's quite an unthinkable thing, isn't it? The creature doesn't know the Creator. All because of sin, all because of rebellion, and of course, sin has ruled the world by the time Christ came for 4,000 years. Sin has run its awful course, and by the time Christ came, they received Him not. They knew Him not. And that will set the groundwork now for suggesting that God has to do something to their hearts so that they will receive Him. Because in their natural condition, the world doesn't know Him, and even His own people received Him not. All right, well, we'll stop there. I want to read just a little bit to you. This is our practice now when we start studying a book that we'll read it. I'm not going to read it all in one setting, but let's read four or five chapters of it and get us started in this book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or received it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And who is that? John the Baptist. A lot of people, now, you may not know it, but the book of John does not identify the author. John never said, you know, it doesn't say this, you know, the gospel written by John. So we the church has always believed that John the Apostle wrote it. And this is one reason, is because when he says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, he doesn't say John the Baptist because it's not necessary. He is John the Apostle telling you that there was a man named John that was sent from God. If he was trying to identify between himself and John the Baptist, he perhaps would have said John the Baptist. But at any rate, that's just a tidbit. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Already in 13 verses we've had the fact that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've also got the new birth in verse 13. So already we've got a great doctrine here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art Thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then? Art Thou Elias? And He saith, I am not. Art Thou that prophet? And He answered, No. Then said they unto Him, Who art Thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest Thou of Thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked Him and said to Him, Why do you baptize then, if Thou be not that Christ, or Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. One thing about John was a prophet. John was, I suppose, no different than any of the other prophets of the Old Testament. But there was one significant difference in John's ministry. All of the other prophets in the Old Testament said, Jesus is coming. And John the Baptist said, there He is. That's a big difference. And so that's what John is doing here in chapter 1. He's identifying Jesus. This is the man. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for he was about the tenth hour. It was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Remember the theme of John? Thou art the Son of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles, so it appears that this was the first miracle of Christ's public ministry, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Who was it? Jesus performed this first miracle. Who was it? In whose presence did he perform the miracle? Pardon? The servants. Yeah, his mother was present, of course. The servants. Pardon? The servants were the ones. He told the servants, go fill the water pots with water. It appears that no one else, his mother just told the servants, do whatever he says to do. Jesus didn't cause a big stir. He didn't gather everybody together and come on, let me show you something. He did this miracle in front of the servants. And apparently the disciples then also caught wind of it. And they, it says, they believed on him. But I guess my point is that Jesus didn't just make a big public show of his miracles. This is the way Jesus often did. He wasn't interested in putting on a big dramatic show. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of the small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. What do you think Jesus was trying to demonstrate when he, this is the very early part of his ministry, he marches into the temple, and he takes a scourge and he drives them out. I think he was trying to demonstrate, hey, I have authority over this house. And so he demonstrated that. Now anyone else, I can't imagine any person coming in there by himself, kicking over the tables, taking a whip and running people out, but by his authority with God's help, he was able to do so. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. That's interesting. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. All that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All right. Well, the Lord bless the reading of his word. That's three chapters. We got 18 to go, so we'll try to read some along as we study this book.